We'll start 2012 SEC Football Media Days with Texas A&M University. First, Coach, welcome to the SEC, and we'd like to welcome Coach Kevin Sumlin to his first SEC Football Media Day. He'll give an opening comment, and then we'll take questions. Coach?
Thank you. First of all, I'm glad that we're getting started on time. They can't blame it on the new guy that we didn't screw this thing up. So it was important we got started on time. The other thing is, just like the other 13 guys will get up here and talk, the word excited is probably going to come out a bunch. And we also at Texas A&M are excited for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, our inaugural season in the SEC, our fans, our former students, current students, everybody around the program is excited to get this thing going. And our coaches and players likewise. So for us, it's a special year, and as excited as everybody else is in the country to get football season started, I think I can speak for Texas A&M and our coaching staff and our place. We're as excited as anybody to be a part of the SEC, but also for football season to start. You know, for us, coming into this year, it's going to be a real, real special time for us, for our fans. But I think that, you know, as we look at things, I was just out in the ESPN in the bus, and they said, "Do you realize you play play all six defending national champions?" And that's about the fourth time somebody's asked me that. We knew that when we took the job. We understand the challenges that are ahead of us. We understand that it's going to be a difficult but exciting year. And I think from our standpoint, from a coach's standpoint, from a player's standpoint, we've got a lot of things to point to work hard to get to. And I think our players have really utilized the spring, have gone through the summer in a great way. I look at the three young men that we brought with us today. That are going to be leaders for our football team, and Sean Porter and Ryan Swope and Luke Jokel. And we got on the plane this morning, and Coach Jackson, our strength coach, is a guy who has worked wonders with our team. And I said, "Hey, I think Coach Jackson's looking for you today." And all three of them said, "No, Coach, we went with the 5:45 a.m. group this morning." So I think that says a lot about the dedication of this group of guys that our seniors that are buying into what we're trying to do, and the quicker that we get that buy-in from the older players in our program, the quicker we'll be successful. So you guys will have a chance to visit with them today, and I think you'll get to hear their perspective, which I think is interesting. But, you know, with that being said, I guess I'll take a few questions at this point.
All right, thank you, Coach. If you'll raise your hand, and as we get a microphone to you, if you would give your name and affiliation, we would appreciate it. We'll start up here in the front with Ron.
Ron Higgins, Commercial Appeal, Memphis. Kevin, there's just been build up for months about joining the SEC. Does this, when you walk in a room and you see all these people here, considering what you came from in Conference USA, does it kind of make it real, like, wow, this is big?
Well, you know, it's this makes it real. I tell you what made it real to me, which is probably quicker than a lot of people, was when we had our first head coaches meeting back in, I think, March or February. When you walk into a room with 13 other head coaches in the SEC and Mike Slive, and they close that door behind you, and it's just you guys in there, that's when you know it's real. So for me, it's probably been a little bit quicker there with that. And then, you know, walking into this room and you know, seeing the number of first the other day, just Alan Cannon giving me the number of media requests. Obviously, you know what kind of league you're involved in, and the size and the scope of football in the SEC. So, I think for me, it's probably been a little bit different than our fans. You know, the July 1st date was a big date for us to officially move into the league. But as I said, you guys probably saw me at the bowl game wearing my SEC patches and all that kind of stuff. For me, we've done that the whole time. So this is just part of it.
All right, we'll stay here on the middle row on the left side. We have a question. We have a question. I'm sorry, back here on the right. Questions? Right up here, Tom Murphy, back here on the left, Coach.
Hey, Kevin, I'd like to get your thoughts on starting a season like you are, fresh at a new college, but with the quarterback situation that you're going into the year with.
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, fortunately, this is my second time through this. You know, people forget that moving into Houston, there was really a two-quarterback system that I inherited with Blake Joseph and Case Keenum, who split time the year before. We went through spring football and basically went through the fall camp. And I'm usually pretty comfortable with about 2 weeks away from the first game being able to name the starter. So haven't been through this before as a head coach and really as a coordinator, too. It makes it a little bit easier, I put it that way. But as a coach, you always feel better when you have a starter that kind of leads your team through spring and goes through the summer and through fall camp. But I will say this, you know, you got to start somewhere. And all those guys that become veteran quarterbacks, they had to figure out a place to get started. And so we'll work through that. Fortunately, we've got some guys that are competing for it. I feel real good about our athletic ability and our talent level at quarterback. So those guys will compete into 2 a days, and we'll figure out who that is, and we'll name a starter a couple weeks at the latest before the Louisiana Tech game.
Coach, we'll go over here on the left in the front row.
Coach Dan Harrelson, you obviously have proven to have great offenses up from your Oklahoma days and Houston days. Do you have to make any adjustments going against the SEC defenses?
Yeah, we need to be bigger and faster. How's that against the SEC defenses? I don't know. We'll see. We've been able to adapt to do things, whether we were at Houston or other places I've been, to utilize our personnel. I think we have gotten kind of a – you know, people say we throw the ball all the time, and that's fine. I'd like for people to think that. That's not necessarily the truth. I think if you look at the statistics and you look at our ratio, is a lot closer to 55-45 than 70-30. And I think our run game percentages and our run game stats have been pretty effective. So being called pass happy is fine with us, as long as people want to defend the pass all the time. So we've been able to utilize our talent. I think we've been able to develop quarterbacks in what we've tried to do wherever we've been. As I said before to somebody, you know, we'll have a lot better feel for our league in February than we do right now. Watching video doesn't do it a lot of justice. I see a bunch of people smiling. You know, we took a little team from Houston over Starkville and won once. So we've played against some teams in the SEC and have a lot of respect for the talent level. So we'll see where we are offensively, but certainly, we're comfortable with how we do things in the system that we have in place.
All right, we'll go down here on the front left, Pat.
Yeah, Coach, Pat Dooley, Gainesville Sun. Everybody talks about the SEC welcoming you in, but you get to welcome the SEC in to start with the game with Florida. Can you talk about how important that is maybe to kind of start your SEC schedule at home? That's my first question. Second question, kickoffs moved up. Are we trending towards the end of kickoffs in college football?
The last question? Couldn't hear you?
Are we trending towards the end of the college football kickoff because they're trying to, for safety reasons, moving it up so that there'll be more touchbacks?
To answer your first question, there's a couple ways. Number one, our most important game is our first game. That's Louisiana Tech. And we're playing in Shreveport, 7:30 at night. Anybody who's seen them play a year ago knows that that's a good football team. Sonny does a great job. I think last year at Houston we won on the last play of the game, and Mississippi State and Southern Miss barely got out of there. So we've got our plate full the first game, but there is no doubt that our fans are extremely excited about the home opener against Florida. You know, all you got to do is look at our season ticket sales and to gauge where we are as a university and as a athletic program as far as ticket sales and excitement level. So, you know, that's going to be a big game for us and for us to as a team or as a head coach to have your home opener at Texas A&M. Be an SEC game is a big deal. There's no doubt about that. But like I said, for us, you know, the first game is the biggest game. Your last question about the kickoff, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, you know, and concern about injury. I think there's, you know, the movement and moving the kickoff line of scrimmage forward, back, obviously. Everybody's talked about it. There's been a little bit of movement towards and some discussion about eliminating it. I for one, am not a fan of eliminating the kickoff. I think it's something that the fans like. I think it's something that players enjoy. There's an art to it. I'm probably a little bit different than most people since I just came from a place that guy tied the NCAA record in kickoff returns for touchdowns. So for me, I don't want to eliminate the kickoff. I like that. It's a play for us. It's a first offensive play for the return team, and it's a tone setter if you're the kickoff team. And to me, that's been a part of football.
All right, Coach, we'll go over here on the middle, right in the straight ahead of you.
Brett Hudson, Tuscaloosa News. To follow up on the quarterback situation, a lot of your quarterbacks are young. Only one is above junior in classification. Does that make the process difficult, and is that more difficult, and does that make the development more difficult when you're looking forward to the 2012 year?
Well, you know, there's a couple ways to look at it. A lot of times with young quarterbacks, it's a little bit easier, particularly when you come in with a new system, than to have a new coach coming in, bringing a new system to a fourth or fifth year guy who's been starting in a different system. It can be a little bit difficult. Sometimes those guys will reject your coaching. Sometimes they've been taught a little bit differently, and they really haven't come there to play for you. And particularly if they've had success, if that makes sense. So in this situation with the younger quarterback, fortunately, for us, when we walked into the situation, we knew all those guys. We'd recruited them at Houston. Cliff Kingsbury or myself had visited him or talked to him on the phone. So there was a comfort level, I thought, with us as coaches with the quarterbacks, and a comfort level with the quarterbacks with us. Because I think that's really where you need to start. You know, when you get a new coach, you don't know what he's gonna run, how it's gonna happen, what's going to go on. And I think our guys had a comfort level from knowing us and knowing what we're about. So for me, looking at the situation with the younger guy, you probably have a little bit better chance to mold him into what you're trying to do and have him grow with you and grow the offense with him, instead of a guy who's been around 4 or 5 years and has been used to a certain system.
Okay, Coach, we'll go over your stage left in the middle.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com. Two questions. First, what's sort of your approach to recruiting out of the state of Texas, and what emphasis, if any, are you really putting on it? And secondly, how much do you expect to get from Christian Michael this fall, or this during preseason camp, and what do you think he can bring to the offense this fall if he's healthy?
Those are two real different questions, Edward. But first of all, recruiting, I would say that, you know, there's no doubt that we have a real emphasis in the state of Texas in recruiting. I think that's, you know, our numbers show that right now. We've had success, but there's no doubt that being in the SEC has increased our footprint nationally, and particularly moving east. And so our ability to really move east towards east into Louisiana, Mississippi. I think just looking at our recruiting over the last 5 or 6 months, I would say that we've probably gotten a few more visits or return phone calls or campus visits from some guys that that may or may not have looked at us before we were in the SEC. And I don't know. People ask me all the time, you know, how much has that affected your recruiting? How much has that boosted your recruiting? It's hard for me to say because I wasn't here last year. But I do know that our brand at Texas A&M, our history, our tradition, our location, and being a part of the SEC has not hurt us one bit in recruiting in the state and moving east and really nationally. So to answer your question, our primary state's always going to be Texas. There's a lot of great players in the state, but in order to be the team, the program that we want to be, we're going to have a national recruiting prowess, and I think we've hired coaches that have that background and understand it, and I think our numbers are starting to bear that out.
Coach, we'll stay on the left and go around the far wall. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hey, Coach, Ben Love, Tiger Rag Magazine. There's been a lot of talk about Texas A&M and LSU becoming that last game of the regular season near Thanksgiving. How would you feel about that? And then the LSU-A&M rivalry kind of being renewed, your thoughts on that?
Well, the one thing I've learned is I really don't have anything to do with scheduling so far, particularly being the new guy. We'll figure out what's going on. I think that from a proximity standpoint, obviously based on what we just talked about with Edward, as we move into recruiting, you know, Louisiana is a neighboring state, and so obviously they're in Texas recruiting. We're in Louisiana recruiting, and hopefully as we become more competitive on the football field, that game becomes one of those games that people look forward to. So, you know, everybody's always looking for a replacement for rivalry games. We're new into this league. And so, you know, you really don't have a set rival per se. I know that we've talked about and discussed that the crossover rival will be South Carolina, but you know, whatever league, and I've coached in every league, maybe but this league. And you know, you create your own rivalries and they change. But we'll see. I think that just from a proximity standpoint, and as a neighboring state. And the things that go on in recruiting and the people that know each other, certainly that will be an extremely important game and could replace a game as a big time rivalry game.
Okay, we'll go on the left side, over in the middle.
Johnny Thornton from Coleman Sports Page. Coach, what is your assessment of playing in the SEC West this year, especially with this division producing the last three BCS national champions?
What's my assessment? It's a pretty damn hard league. How's that? That's my assessment. So, you know, it's you look at that and you see the talent level, and I think the combination, somebody we were just talking about, the main difference that I see is a combination of size and speed. You know, I've been a part of some pretty fast football teams over the last few years, and our speed level at Texas A&M is pretty good. I think the combination of size and speed, particularly in the West, but in the SEC, is the difference maker, and the depth in the front. And so, you know, you add up those three things: size, speed, and depth. Over the course of the 12 ball games, injuries and attrition matter. And so, you know, just to answer your question, it's a damn difficult league because of talent, but also because of coaching. And you know, you can argue all you want, but there's some of the best coaches in the country in the SEC, and combine that with big, fast guys and some of the best players in the country, it doesn't get any better than that.
Coach, we'll stay in the middle section here, right in front.
Hi, Coach. Olin Buchanan with TexAgs.com. I was wondering, what kind of feel do you have for your team defensively and the kind of defense that you can put on the field? Do you think it can be the type of defense that the SEC is known for? And if not yet, you know, what do y'all have to do to get to that point?
Well, it's a great question. It would be difficult for me to say at this point. You know, we've got a lot of things we've got to overcome. You look at our defense last year, we led the country in sacks, but we were 106th or 108th in the country in pass defense. So, you know, that's a feast or famine type of defense. Is that, you know, we've got to be more consistent across the board as a football team. And defensively, you know, we've got to take some chances, but we can't have that big of a chasm between statistics. The other thing that we have to do is we've got to develop depth in our front, which we did not have in the spring. We're going to have some young guys play early in our defensive line. Our linebackers, our starting linebackers are SEC-like linebackers, size and speed-wise. With Jay Stew is a 245-250-pound Mike in there to try to help us out. You know, and we're moving from a 3-4 to a 4-3, which I think is a big deal for us schematically. So to answer your question, you know, we've changed the defense, changed the style of defense, obviously with a new coordinator, new scheme, and we're going to have to recruit to the 4-3 to what we're trying to do. Unfortunately for us, we're going to have to get some young kids on the field early this year. But from a depth perspective, I think that's going to help us moving forward down the road, maybe a couple years from now.
All right, we'll stay over here on the left, in the middle.
Coach Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com again. Christian Michael, what do you expect to get out of him? Fall
forgot
camp?
About that. Yeah,
it's all right. It happens. And what do you expect him to do this fall?
You know, Christian is a guy who was really ready to go in the spring. And you know, about week two or three, I just pulled him off the field. He was doing too much, I thought, early. Anybody who watched him play last year knows that he's a big physical guy. He didn't have to explain or try to show me how tough he is. I get that. So we wanted to make sure he got through the spring healthy. And then got through the summer, and then we'll work through it during fall camp and make sure that he's ready to go physically, that he can take a hit. But to me, and hang on to the ball, but to me, I think he's 100%. I was looking at him yesterday, and he came through the office, and he looks great. I think he's about 223 or something like that right now, which is a good weight for him, and the ability for him to really carry that weight over the last, you know, five months has been a big deal to him, just from the pounding on that knee and being able to run with that weight. So he hadn't had much swelling or doing anything, so he's gone through all the summer workouts, and he's come along just fine.
We'll go to right down here in front.
Dale Williams, Sports Visions, and welcome to the SEC, Coach.
Glad to be here.
I got a question for you, a real simple question. You know, even in the midst of you playing against the Alabamas, the LSUs, Arkansas, and all these teams, and this is your first year in the SEC, what are your realistic expectations this year?
What are my realistic expectations this year?
Yeah.
My realistic expectations are to win. And, you know, I've said that from day one. Yeah, everybody talks to me and acts like, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into when I took the job. You know, we had already entered into the SEC under the agreement when I took the job. And I know, having been at Texas A&M 10 years ago, the potential of the university. Now, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to continue to recruit at a high level. I think we have everything in place to do that, from a game day experience, from the facilities that are being built down the road. But you owe it to your fans, you owe it to your seniors, you owe it to the players in your current program to go out there and put the best product on the field every week and give us an opportunity to be successful. So, you know, I'm not a weatherman. I've been on really good teams. I've been on some bad teams, and I'm not a guy that goes out and circles games on the schedule before the year happens, whether we've won every game or lost one game or lost them all. So, you know, it changes. And I'll say this, too. You know, it takes time early in the year. It will depend on how quickly, as we talked about, the buy-in from those three guys, but also the other 85 guys to buy into what we're doing. And the quicker we get that, the quicker that we'll have a chance to be successful and play in some of these games. But, you know, there's no doubt when you're facing a bunch of top 10 football teams, you know, we've got a ways to go based on where we were as a program last year and the things to clean up. We talk to our team all the time about two things. We don't need to worry about our SEC schedule. The teams that we're playing, Florida and LSU and Alabama, we need to worry about us first. And we've got enough things in our own program right now that we got to get fixed before we start worrying about playing those football games.
And one more question. Are you always this laid-back, pretty cool guy, or are you just turn up another notch when you're...
Some of you guys have seen me on Saturday, so...
Okay.
And some of you guys have been around me in some of these question and answer sessions, too.
Well, I'm glad I caught you on a good day.
It's summertime. We're all right. Plus, we're undefeated at this point, so you might catch me a little bit later. I might have a different attitude.
All right, we'll go here in the middle, the third row.
Homer Jacobs, 12th Man Magazine. Coach, what do you think are some perceptions or myths about Texas A&M that maybe you'd like to dispel as you have the big stage?
You know, I don't know. Perceptions or myths? I wish the perception that was that we were damn good in football. But I don't know that, you know, you get out there and there's some things that you hear in recruiting. And obviously, the more that we have guys on our campus, the guys that have come to visit us have come around and looked and said, you know what, this is different than I thought. And we've got a huge tradition as far as our student body. I think that, you know, I focus more on the positives than the negatives. Every school's got negatives. You know, we have the largest student body at any venue, any football game, college football game in the country. 30,000 students standing, the home of the 12th man, one of the loudest places in the country. And it's hard to show that to a young man in the offseason. They come during game day. It's a wow factor. And so for me as a coach, wherever I've coached, wherever I've been, there have always been negatives to point out. But I think that as you start to point out what's positive about your school, what sets you apart, what sets Texas A&M apart, you know, 50,000 students, 20,000 alumni every year, former students that go out in the world and in the marketplace and create jobs for other Aggies, it's a big deal. And the game day experience, which ESPN said is second to none in the country, gives you an opportunity as a coach to go out and recruit the best and the brightest in the country. And particularly now that we're in the SEC, you know, I think we've got a venue and a game day atmosphere that fits right in to our league. You know, our fans take pride in it. Our former students take pride in it. Our current students take pride in it. And so do our players. We're looking forward to it.
Coach, we'll stay in the middle section on the right side over here.
Hey, Coach. Joey Martin, Concordia Sentinel. What did you think of Coach Miles' statement, Texas and Missouri better strap it up?
Well, based on the video that I watched, he wasn't too far from being right. So, you know, that he's got a pretty good football team. You know, you got two new teams coming in the league. I don't think that was any kind of derogatory statement at all, based on the fact that, you know, he was the head coach at Oklahoma State. and was in the Big 12 for a number of years. And so I think he understands the physical nature of this league. So I don't see that as derogatory at all. I think that's a fair statement. I think he says that to about everybody he plays, as a matter of fact.
All right, we'll stay in the middle section over here on the left. Or in the middle.
Chandler Smith with the Battalion. Coach, speaking of LSU, what Coach Dana Holgorsen in West Virginia racked up 533 yards of offense last year against LSU, one of the better defenses in the SEC, and racked up more yards by a pretty large margin. Is that a testament to how effective your offense, similar offense, can do in the SEC?
You know, Dana, having spent 2 years, you know, with us at Houston, obviously we're pretty close. Before he moved on, you know, that was a nice job by West Virginia. You know, the thing that you look at is the turnovers in that game and big plays. And great players on the field make big plays. And so, you know, the game is not about statistics. You know, how many yards you have, or it's about more points than the other guy. Whether you hold them to three or whether you give up 30 and you score 31, the idea is to win the game. And so there's some things, obviously, fundamentally and structurally, that are similar to what we do. But that game came down to turnovers. And just about every football game I've ever been a part of, that's the case. And you know, you turn the ball over like that as many times as they did against a good football team or against an average team, you're not going to win. So, you know, but from a structural and schematic standpoint, I'm sure LSU's looked at that too, and they're going to try to shore that up. But for us, you know, that's certainly part of what we do. That's not all of what we do, but that's certainly part of what we do.
Okay, we'll stay in the center section right here.
Coach Brian Davis, Aggieland Illustrated. You mentioned Coach Jackson. What has he done to kind of get the team ready for the SEC, and have you seen a transformation of the team?
You know, it's different. I don't, you know, as a coach, you can't be a part of the summer workouts. And Larry Jackson's a guy that's been with me at when I was assistant coach at Oklahoma. Came from Texas A&M, brought him. He's been at Houston with me. He understands what we're trying to get done. Former NFL player at A&M. And you know, I think for him, he told the players the right thing. You know, it's not a job to him anymore. It's personal, because he's an Aggie. He played there. He understands what it takes to play at the next level. And I think our players get that. So the demands that he's putting on them right now, he's put in the spring, gone through the summer, will pay off. We're a team. We don't have a conditioning test at the end. He's never had it. Since I've been with him, he's basically told me that, number one, you get out there to practice, and if our team's not where we need it to be, then you fire me. So, you know, I there's no better resume than that. So we've been together a long time. Our teams have been in excellent condition, particularly for what we do offensively. And I think the biggest compliment to him is, you know, moving from Oklahoma to Houston, where we really had to develop some guys physically to play in some big games and play in a lot of big games. He was able to do that, and he was excited to get to Texas A&M and really work with some guys that you know, with the Luke Jokels and guys like that walked through the door at 280, 290, and 300 pounds, and try to develop those guys. So I think, to answer your question again, I'll know more during two days, but you know, just talking with our guys, I think that you can see them taking pride in what they do, and looking at their new bodies and being pretty proud of how they're handling themselves this summer.
Time for a couple more. We'll go over here to the left and then back right up here.
Yeah, Kevin. Bob. Hey, me, right. Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The Arkansas A&M series has been in Cowboy State in the last 3 years. How do you feel about it moving on to campus, and how would you feel about it in the future going back to Cowboy Stadium?
You know, it's another one of those questions that's out of my hands. You know, how I feel about it really doesn't matter. You know, college football to me, that's really a two-part question. You know, when it was a Big 12 SEC game, a neutral field was being in Dallas was one deal. Now you've got a league game and a division game, and so I'm sure that most universities, most guys would want a home and home, and you know those kind of for us, I would think that would be the case. So you know, I enjoy playing in Jerry's World as much as the next guy, but you know I would rather it be a home and home deal. But like I said, as a coach, you know that really doesn't matter. That contract was put together long before I became the head coach at Texas A&M.
All right, we'll take one final one in the back center.
Coach Corey Miller, Sports Radio 560 team right here in the back. Have you met with Coach and AD Eric Hyman from South Carolina? And if so, how do you feel like he can help you with that transition since he did such a great job at South Carolina and the facilities and getting them at the top of the SEC?
No, there's no doubt. You know, Eric Hyman coming in as our new athletic director, I'm excited about it. I'll be honest with you. You know, you look at his last two stops, what he accomplished, what he did at TCU prior to going to South Carolina, and the success of their athletic programs at South Carolina. You know, for us, for a university, I think it's the direction that, you know, as Bill Byrne retired and you're going to make a change, you're always worried about who's coming in. Well, you know, when you've got a guy like Eric Hyman who has a proven track record of success, number one, but also brings something to the table that we needed and I think desperately in our administration was SEC experience. And not only SEC experience, but SEC winning experience in a number of sports. So, you know, whenever you have a guy who comes in an administration in a leadership role who has seen it, knows what it looks like, knows how to put it together, you know, as a coach, I couldn't be more excited about it. We've had a couple conversations. Obviously, he's back tying up some things in Columbia, but we've had a couple conversations about the direction of the program, what's going on, and like I said, you know, whenever you have a situation like that, you're always worried, but I think we hit a home run in Eric Hyman.
Coach, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.